Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today, this the first Sunday in the season of Lent, is our Old Testament lesson, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 18. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, a well-known passage from the Bible, maybe a favorite passage in the Bible for some of us, Book of Romans chapter 8. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. So, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You pray to the Lord. What do you pray about? What do you pray about? Or maybe I should ask, what is the greatest prayer? What is the best prayer? Now, your immediate answer might be, well, the Lord's Prayer, of course, and that's good. That's good. But a single prayer, what is the best prayer? It's part of the Lord's Prayer. What is the greatest prayer of faith? Now, we might think to ourselves, well, maybe it's praying for healing from sickness, because we do that almost every Sunday for different folks that we love and care about. We pray for people who are sick. Maybe it's prayer for God's healing, or maybe it's a prayer for something big, like Jesus talked about when he said you can move mountains if you pray believing. Now, healing prayers and faith that moves mountain prayers certainly astound us when we see them come to pass, and you do have times when you see them come to pass. And when it happens, you want to shout out to the Lord when you see everything come together as it didn't seem like it was going to happen, and you say, that had to be the hand of God. And what do you say? You say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. But are those the greatest prayer of faith? What do you think Abraham prayed for in our Old Testament lesson for today, after God gave him a command? And of course, when God commands you something, you want to do it. Our first parents learned the drawback of going the other way. God gave him a command. What was the command? Kill your son. Kill your son, your only son, the one that you've been waiting for years, year after year after year. God said he was going to come, but he didn't. And then finally you had your boy, and now God says, kill him. So what do you think Abraham prayed? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us, but you can think of your own prayers and make a guess, hazard a guess. What do you think he prayed? He might have prayed, Lord, please spare my son. Lord, please don't make me go through this. Lord, you gave us this child miraculously. We were so filled with joy. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, and now you're going to take him away. Lord, murder? Last time I checked the commandments, that's not one of your ways. How could that be? Lord, can't there be another way? I am sure that Abraham, in the 3 days' journey to the place of sacrifice, wrestled day and night, unable to sleep, wrestled with God. But with all of those prayers taken together, is it possible that there was another prayer that Abraham prayed? Maybe a prayer that you can only finally pray as Abraham raised his knife to kill his son. It's a prayer that you see every time you come into our church. It's quite obviously displayed. It speaks quite obviously and powerfully. And there's not a word to it. It's just a picture. When you come into church, what do you see? You see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to go to his own sacrificial death. And what did he pray? He said, Abba, which is a term of endearment, Daddy, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. But then what did he say? Yet not what I will, but thy will be done. What is the greatest prayer? The greatest prayer of faith. Thy will be done. Now, you cannot pray that prayer. You can mumble the words, but you can't really pray it from your heart unless you know for a fact that the Lord does work all things for good. You cannot pray that prayer from your heart for a fact unless you know that the Lord is there with you, that the Lord is there for you. But even if you know that, it's not an easy prayer, is it, to say, Thy will be done. To take the steering wheel and say, Lord, my hands are going off. You better put your hands on. You drive. It's hard because you only pray that prayer from the heart after you've given God an awful fight. After you've wrestled with the good Lord. After you've said, please God, please God, please God, please God, and you're exhausted from saying it. It's a hard prayer to pray because it's a prayer of repentance as well, too. You say to yourself, you say to the Lord, excuse me, I've wanted my way, Lord. I begged for my way to be done, my will to be done. And I know it can only be your way. And it is a hard prayer because it always seems like it's the last prayer. You go through all the other options, and you ultimately, even as our Lord Jesus did, you end up with, Thy will be done. It's the prayer you pray as the knife is lifted into the air and you close your eyes. It's not an easy prayer. It's not easy because if you say, Lord, Thy will be done, and my hands are going off the steering wheel and you're going to have to take it, what could happen? Well, the unbelief in your heart says, God might crash the car. He might crash the car. He might dash my hopes. I might see a huge investment of time and effort come out to nothing. I might not be able to keep my health. I might not be able to keep my wealth. I might not be able to keep my loved ones. I might see my pride get humiliated. I might see my status get reduced. Thy will be done. See, once you say that, you've signed on the dotted line, haven't you? It's yours now, Lord. Hands off the wheel. The paperwork's yours. I'm in your hands. And that's not an easy prayer. It's not an easy prayer. And yet, it is the only safe prayer for the same reason. Because now, you're in the hands of God. You're in the hands of the Lord. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who have been called according to his purpose, for those who love him, Romans chapter 8. So, what then shall we say in response to this? And it demands a response. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, and he is, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him, graciously give us all things? If we can put it like this, I'll say it like this. Faith is an atheist. It is an atheist when it comes to appearances. It refuses to make appearances into God. well, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, therefore that's what God is doing. Faith refuses to make feelings into a God. Well, I feel like God's with me, so he is. I don't feel like God's with me, so I guess he's not. That's not the way faith works. Faith is an atheist. I won't worship those kind of gods. Because anybody can praise the Lord when things go well. That takes no faith. And anybody can fall to pieces when things go badly or when their feelings depart from them. That takes no faith either. Real faith is an atheist. It rejects the God of just appearances. It rejects the God of events. It rejects the God of feelings. It categorically denies such a God. It disbelieves in such a God. It turns its back on such a God. It kicks in the shins that kind of God. It tells that God to get out of the picture. And faith says, you know what? I'm not looking at any of that stuff. I'm not looking in here. I'm not looking out there. I'm looking one place. I'm looking over there. My confidence is in that God, especially in Lent we remember it, the crucified God, my Savior Jesus. Because when I look at the cross, I realize that how God does things are the exact opposite of appearances so many times, the exact opposite of feelings so many times. There's something objective, there's something solid that stands outside of you, and that is the cross of your Lord Jesus Christ. Because there you remember that Jesus made you clean with your Father. He made you right with your Father, and because of that, you don't have to be afraid. There you remember that Jesus gave you a hope and a future. He said, come and follow me, take up your cross and follow me. And where are you going? You're going together with him to everlasting life. And when you look at the cross, you recognize that there Jesus made you his beloved child, and you can expect only good from him. Not only easy, but only good from the Lord, even in a miserable and sin-filled world like this one is. And that is why faith prays, thy will be done. Because you can expect as a forgiven child, you will receive from a gracious Father only good from the Lord. It doesn't look like it at the moment. It's not easy at the moment, but it's always true. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And so what do we know? We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. So what then shall we say in response to this? If all that's true, and it is, and you know that to be true, and you believe that to be true, and you trust that to be true, what do you say? You look at your Father and you say, thy will be done. You look at your Lord Jesus and you say, thy will be done. And you don't say it grudgingly or reluctantly, at least not in the end, but you say it confidently and thankfully. You say it confidently and thankfully, and then you can ask a question. Will I keep my health? Maybe. Will I keep my wealth? Possibly. Will I keep my loved ones? Will I keep my status? Could be. But will good come to me? Will God's good will be done for me? That one you can bank on. That one comes without a doubt. And so, what then shall we say in response to this? In trust, what do you say? Thy will be done. In confidence, what do you say? Thy will be done. In faith, contentment, satisfaction, ultimately, what do you say? Lord, thy will be done. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.